guys. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper.
This is Joe Bob Briggs.
This is Jeffrey Combs.
Hey, this is Scotty in from Anthrax.
Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau.
Hi, this is Doc Bradley. You're listening to Quality Time.
You're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Broadcast.
And you're listening to Quality Time.
Quality Time Podcast.
I'm saying this under duress.
You better keep listening or I will tear your soul apart.
Yeah, it looks like a good...
Oh, yeah, that stairway, I don't know how old that is, but it's probably around 100 years old. Remember the last time I was on, we talked about how old the house was?
Yeah, yeah.
The earliest part of it, I think from records I've found, like old census records, dates back to like 1810, like the oldest part, and it's just been gradually added on up until about... the 1950s and 60s when my grandfather purchased it.
Oh, kind of like the Winchester house that is always in production because the widow is crazy.
Oh yeah,
this house I don't think has been finished since it started.
It's cool though. It looks like a very creepy horror movie angle. Like I'm waiting for something to come down those steps, and it's like, oh my god, it's Mickey Coachella, and he's right behind you.
it's always gonna be when I'm jerking off.
Yeah.
So you know, it's the perfect house in which to do that.
Mickey's just been living in your attic for years and squatting.
He doesn't have to squat. He can just walk in there at his height.
Hey, everybody, I lost my job. I've been living in Todd Meyer's attic. He doesn't even know it. Hey.
Hey, he could even...
Ever since I quit 98 Rock.
That rocks. Well, I guess we could just get the show started. Everybody, yeah. Welcome to Quality Time. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and I'm joined by, of course, my brother, Jeremy P.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Okay, who's on the program?
It's me, you know, Detective Munch from Homicide.
Oh,
you know?
Detective Munch from Homicide, who's actually in our movie today. I like that.
I've been a cop for like 20 years now. You know? Yeah.
Career cop. Career movie cop. And
I was big and smoking the weed back in the 70s, but I've been a cop ever since the 90s. So.
Okay, nice.
I'm Richard Belzer.
You know, we'll get more into Richard Belzer in a little bit, but let me introduce our other co-host, the always lovely, the very talented Miss Ashley Pontius. How are you?
I'm good, Daddy.
Well, thanks. And we have a special guest today, returning to the show, and one of our most downloaded episodes of all time, the great Tom Myers, and we do have a special introduction for him. Okay, there you are.
No, that song sounded like if, you know, Light FM always plays nothing but Christmas music from Thanksgiving on. That would be like if Light FM played a Christmas song if it was recorded by Satan.
You didn't get to the best part of the song.
Okay, should I pick it back up, Jeremy?
I'll take you just 20 seconds more is all I ask.
On the great political knowledge and prowess, yes! No! Know what it is? Because he's not gay.
Okay, I got it. Because he's not gay. Okay, that was...
That's all the joke I wanted to get into this program.
You took us on a long ride right there.
That was one more joke than you did the last time I was there. So kudos.
Got his ass. Got shot his ass. Fuck yeah, Tom. Slanging rocks tonight.
Well, you know, I'm only saying that because we're separated by fiber optics.
Yes.
So if I was in there, I would have been too chicken shit to make that comment if I was in the same room, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, well, if you were in the same room as Jeremy, you'd be getting devoured by the rats that have overtaken his house. So you're in luck.
Well, my main wrestling move is where I get you in a headlock and then just scratch my skin into your face. So. Which usually leads to vomiting. So,
good old wholesome family entertainment.
I call it the Parmesan arm lock.
The Parmesan arm lock, classic move by Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, your horrible psoriasis, it never ceases to disgust me. Thank you.
It's comedy gold.
It really is. And you can pick some Jeremy flesh up at our shop. Go ahead to the Quality Time Brothers Emporium. You too can have a dime bag of Jeremy's fresh skin. Give it to your friends. Throw it on your spaghetti. It's good stuff, guys. Now, Tom, we're kicking off the new year with you right now. You got a new podcast that you're running these days, and you've muted yourself, but tell us a little bit about that.
No, I was muting myself because I was clearing my throat. I actually had a couple weeks ago, before I talk about the podcast, I thought I had COVID.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I was dropping off some presents at a relative's house, and another one was there. And I woke up a couple days later. I had a really sore throat and I had trouble breathing. And I got a call from one of the relatives I'd seen and said, oh, by the way, my dad started showing symptoms of COVID and he went to get the rapid test. It's negative. So I ended up like self-quarantining for a few days while I made the appointment to get the test. And then it was Christmas morning. I got the results back that I was negative. So
nice.
it's just probably an allergy thing that left me unable to talk for like a couple weeks, which I always think is the universe's way of telling me to shut up.
Yeah, I think, listen, the whole COVID thing, I've had to self-quarantine on more than one occasion so far, and I've been negative twice, but it's fucking stressful, honestly. The idea of having it is probably worse than actually having it.
Eric? Is it stressful?
No.
It is.
Quarantining?
No.
Quarantining? I love it. I don't have to go out and do anything. I don't have to interact with people. I love it.
Well, listen, I get it. Ashley, you had it, right? But then, like... I get it. You had it, and I had to quarantine because I just like came in contact with you. I also, somebody at work popped with it. But just every time, it was like the second time it happened, I'm like, I hope I just fucking got it this time. I'm ready to build up some fucking antibodies right now.
Well, the lady who cleaned my house had it, and she was asymptomatic. And it turns out one of the weeks that she had it was the week she was over at my place cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I don't think the only sign I think that I had it was like I just felt kind of achy for a few days.
Mm.
But you know, whenever I go out, I always wear a mask. I wash my hands and stay socially distant. No, I do all the responsible stuff. So,
well, let me just tell you, looking at your place, fire that lady. She's doing a horrible job. first and foremost,
she hasn't been by in a few weeks. That's why.
Okay.
Whenever I get it, I do the opposite of self quarantining, and I go out to people and just start talking about the Dark Man.
The Dark Man. Oh, you do full. Yeah. You go full. The Stand.
You basically do the live version of Pogo.
Yes.
In my cloud makeup, but it's badly done. So
there's some days where Jeremy can't decide what Stephen King character he is. Is he it today? Is he Randall Flagg spreading the virus across the nation? We're not really sure.
He covers up the blue lips and the blue fingers with the clown makeup. That's how he stays asymptomatic.
Character. I'm definitely one of the worms from Dreamcatcher. Crawl up your butt.
Ooh, a little butt worm action. Okay.
I hate to say I met the guy who tried to kill the Rob Lowe character in the original Stand. Mm-hmm. And he had his pictures out on his table and I couldn't recognize what I really knew him from. He didn't advertise the fact that he was in the Stand, which is a great role for him, but also he didn't advertise that one of his first roles was in The Toxic Avenger as the guy with the big with the makeup on his face who almost held a shotgun to a baby in the movie. And he hated doing that, but it's such a memorable role.
I don't know why.
He also shoots a dog, which is the worst thing you could ever do is just shoot an animal in any film because you're like, that's the biggest monster, you know? So
God. Pointing a gun at a baby. Okay, shooting a dog. Whoa.
Right, exactly.
That's the fucking line right there.
You want to get white people in a tizzy, you fucking slam a foot down on top of a Jack Russell Terrier and see how fast we take to the streets, okay?
Jeremy, to be fair, I mean, have any of you guys ever, like, flown to do comedy, like, to travel, stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. I toured with Dan Ninen, actually, for a year. I did. I did a really good... I went jet setting with him in his private jet. I served him drinks and stuff like that. It was a good time. Good time.
How much sex did you have to have, and how much did he pay for sex?
Well, I mean, he didn't have to pay. I mean, you fucking give it up for a big fucking millennial star like Dan Ninen. Are you kidding me?
How many Samsung Galaxy jokes did he workshop past
Samsung
you?
Galaxy? Sorry, no galaxies on the plane today. We're not trying to take it down. I'm half Asian, half Indian.
But to be fair, Jeremy, have you flown on flights and there's been a crying baby on the plane and you can't get away from it?
Have I ever been on a flight?
I've
never been on a real airplane other than a small Cessna that my buddy let me actually take the wheel for like 10 seconds.
Have you really never been on a plane, Jeremy? Are you basically
Correct.
Mr. T right now?
Like... It's not that I'm afraid of it. It's just that I'm poor.
Oh, okay.
Well, plus it's getting on a flight is stressful. Like nobody enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like run your ass off like OJ, like you just killed somebody and you have blood all over your hands.
I do. I'm really good though. I have a.
My lawyer says I can't talk about that.
It's good to be a fat person and on a plane, and here's why. Nobody will pick to sit next to you. Usually, right? So if you pick an aisle seat, usually nobody will take the middle one next to you because you're a big fat guy. And so I always do two things. I get on there. I try to look extra like slovenly and like fuck it. I like show like just a little bit of my navel up like there. And I usually like rub my belly like, oh, I'm not feeling so good right now. Look sick and fat. And then almost 99% of the time, never get anybody that sits next to me.
I think for me, it's like the idea of like just giving whenever I travel most places, I can, you know, get in a car. Even if I take a train, there's some form of control. I can move around and go wherever I want. But in a plane, pretty much everything's taken away from you. Like you have to stay seated. You have to stay buckled up.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
You can't form a line to go to the restroom. And then
it's weird to do
cocaine.
When the plane
lands, you finally get to your destination. You get to your destination. And then you get off the plane and you're like, oh, fuck, I got to do this again when I go back. I'm not a fan of that.
I watched my dear friend in 2004, shout outs Hofnar. I'll leave his real name out of it. But he got so obliterated. Before we got on the plane, we walked him in like Weekend at Bernie's because he was still so drunk from the night before. And it was like a 6 a.m. flight. And we were like, come on, we just got to get home. We got to get him on there. And luckily, they let us through. We sit him down in his seat. Midway through this flight, I just notice a little dripping that starts to happen. I'm like, did he spill a drink? He pissed all the way through the plane seat that he was sitting in. And I was just watching it soak into the floor underneath him. And this fucking stewardess, when she noticed it, she was not fucking happy at all. Just like, and he had to just sit there in a flight from Florida to back to Maryland with just completely soaked jeans, piss pants.
Was it on a Spirit flight? Because if it was, then him pissing on the seat probably improved the quality of the flight.
Yes, it was just the regular level of piss that's necessary to be on a Spirit airline, actually. Spirit Airlines actually runs on piss. It needs one donation to like run a Spirit airline flight. That's good, man. That's
I love how Spirit is like, you're too poor to fly Southwest.
Yes. I don't know why Southwest is so, honestly, it's not nice at all, but people love Southwest and I don't understand why. It makes no sense.
Well, because the flights aren't that long. I think the most you'll ever be on one flight, even a direct flight, is like 6 hours or something. And I think it's, you get the two free checked bags and all. And the reason they keep costs so low is because I think, I didn't do any research on this beforehand, but they make, they had a, like a contract with a, some kind of fuel contract or something. And that contract,
it actually runs off of crying babies. I've never heard a crying baby on a Southwest. They have a whole hull for them.
So, yeah. Some kind of contract that they made with a fuel company, and they were able to keep, that's how they're able to keep costs low.
Well, that's good.
I prefer Chow Ming Airlines, where you fly with livestock. And sometimes the pilots jump out, and you have to jump out of the plane with like a raft to just to live.
You want
to
eat a bat? You got to swipe your card in the thing. And
I just want to ride an actual, like the movie Soul Plane. That's what I want to be part of. You know, I need Ice Cube and Cat Williams if I'm to get on a flight again. Now at this point.
But if Samuel L. Jackson gets on, I'm getting off.
Oh, snakes. Yeah, I get off every time I see Samuel L., let me tell you.
It's my dream to actually take a flight with William Shatner once.
Oh,
just so
yeah.
He like peeks out the window like, oh, the gremlin!
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I would dig that. Now, Tom, you yourself have started your own podcast, right?
Can
I did. Tell us
it's
a little
a,
bit.
Politipod
is no more. We're done with Politipod.
I'm done with Politipod. It still exists. It's still going, but I am no longer a part of it. I started my own eponymous Daily Show type podcast, Tom Myers versus the rest of the world.
And how are we? Are you 1-0 against the world so far?
Oh, it's always a draw.
It's always a draw.
Honest. It's we're 8 episodes in. I am 0-0-8. So.
I don't know if that's good or not. I mean, I guess it's better than a loss or a win.
I haven't lost.
Okay.
I haven't lost.
Undefeated. You're a regular Whoopi Goldberg right now.
I'm batting 1,000 on that department.
Did
but
you?
I have a panel of comedians, journalists, musicians, political figures. One of our episodes, we did an election night special. We had on Susan Turnbull, who was the. Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor in Maryland in 2018. I knew her from my politics days.
Okay,
so that was a fun episode.
Are they able to handle the edginess of a Tom Myers when you're in there? Like, did you are you allowed to go back to the Democratic National Convention now? Are they like, whoa, 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 that airplane bit about punching babies, can't do it? Okay,
believe it or not. Like the guests that I've had on who weren't like comics, they're able to roll with the show. They're able to roll with the show pretty well because it's not a podcast that's, you know, 100% devoted to like pedophilia jokes or like, you know, racial slurs or anything.
All right.
So,
well, this show's over, I guess. we can't. I guess that scratches the rest of what I was going to talk about.
There's no way in hell you're getting Doug Gansler on a guest of Quality Time.
No, Doug Gansler! I've been Ganslered again. No, but that's cool, man. I'm excited about it. So definitely go check out Tom Myers versus the World. I assume it's on all the platforms, the
Tom
iTunes.
Tom Myers versus the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't think I'm a part of the world, Eric?
I do. I think you're part of the... I think God gifted you with us. You're straight from heaven, Tom Myers. Let me tell you. You're ethereal, if anything.
I listened to his podcast, and he made a joke about how one of the aides to Trump got coronavirus, and her name was Rona.
Classic.
It was the chair of the Republican National Committee, like the head of the National Republican Party, Rona Romney McDaniel. Of course, her name is Rona.
It's ironic because her name is Rona.
Hell yeah! Who would have seen that? That's like Lou Gehrig getting Lou Gehrig's disease. Who didn't see that one coming?
It's like that Dennis. It's that Dennis Leary bit. Poor Lou Gehrig died of Lou Gehrig's disease. How the fuck do you not see that one coming?
God is ass.
As Babe Ruth with the trachole.
Oh, yeah. Did Babe Ruth have a trachole?
Think so. I know he, being from Baltimore, of course, he fucked himself up with, like, hot dogs, beer, tobacco, and and hookers.
It would have been awesome. I'd love to see.
I think if you get like a disease, you should have a cool name already, like Spiro Agnew.
Yeah.
Like, man, I caught Spiro Agnew.
Oh no, my Alan Greenspan is fucking flaring up again.
I tested positive for Jeremy Woodworth. God,
there's no cure for that.
I do want a disease named after me. I'm just going to go out and start licking toilet seats today. So
I just think it would be awesome to have a trachea in your neck where you just like imagining being
Jeremy Woodworth disease, formerly known as herpes.
I just think it would be dope to see like Babe Ruth with his trach hole in his neck. It just like he's still addicted to hot dogs and beer so much that he's just shoving one dog at a time all into his neck hole, like, oh, like this. That's
the good
stuff.
I tell you
stuff.
What, he would you doing that? He would have beat Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating contest like that.
Yeah, yeah. Does that count if you just shove him through a trach hole versus?
I think it does. There's no rule against it.
I'm filled up to the brim.
There's a comedian named Barry Crimmins. He did a great Babe Ruth bit. I'm going to butcher it here, of course.
Please share.
He said, Babe Ruth can't play today. He has a stomach ache from drinking too much soda pop and eating too many hot dogs. No, the babe's got gonorrhea and a wicked hangover. He's got a massive headache and his dick's dripping. He's not going to be playing today.
He's also fat.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for that.
At least we have a candy bar named
a true representative
after.
Of Ballmer.
Now, Tom, I'd be remiss if I didn't. You are a man of controversy, so much so that you've disabled comments, I think, on Twitter and stuff like
just
that.
Just like Prince.
Everybody's always wants a piece of the old Tom Myers. I've seen the recent beef. Is it you and Mike Racine? Am I getting that right there? You're calling him out. Run me through that because I don't know what that's about at all. I just saw you calling out Mike Racine and then drinking some cranberry. Like you're the guy, you're the Ocean Spray guy.
Well, that's that guy skateboarding mm-hmm. to Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you pulled that off. What's the beef with him? How is he wrong, Tom Myers? Because we're a pro Tom Myers podcast. I'll tell you that right now. Okay, we wouldn't have him on the show if that
so
wasn't
that's
the
one.
Case. Oh, that's
one,
one
podcast.
No, did he wrong you in some way? Was he trying to shit on the great one? What's happening here?
No, I mean I think it's and again, I think I referenced this on the last episode. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people could just probably, you know, say nice things to me in my face and just talk shit about me behind my back, which you all are probably going to do as soon as I log off of here. But
we will do it during the show, Tom. Please. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, I love the honesty.
I made a song for you.
I think it's just, I don't really see it as a serious beef. Like he's, you know, come after me. I've, you know, gone after him, but it's, I've not been as serious as most of the ones I've had in the past, to be honest.
Yeah. This isn't like a Joe Robinson level / the Cum Boys, Nick Mullen and Stavros level.
Mike Racine's an actual comedian. So,
shit. God, his ass.
What's your hatred?
That was a ground ball fielded to me. I had to field it. I had to take it. Had to throw it to first.
What's your hatred?
I had to do it.
What's your hatred level towards Chris Restivo?
Oh, it's Who? High.
Yes.
Chris Restivo.
No acknowledgement.
Chris Restivo, who we haven't, who begs to be on the show on a weekly basis, I will say. And I just tell him we're all booked. We don't have any guests, by the way. We have no guests.
I would legit listen to that.
You can go back in our archives, I think. We have an old Chris Restivo episode around like episode, it's like 50 or something like that. Way back in the archives, but.
Episode 50, that's the new number of the beast.
I know Ashley's not happy. I mentioned Chris Restivo's name and her face just said it all, like, not on my watch. No, Chris.
That would be because Eric once tried to set us up, and I was like, Eric, I will dig up your dead dog and kill her twice.
I did. Hey, that's a true story. Is that Ashley one time, she's talking about, she's like, I'm having dating problems. I think she'd just been through a breakup. I was like, I know this single dude. His name is Chris. He's great. I set it all up. And then I sent her down this path, and then I sent him a picture. It was Chris Restivo, and she's she's like, fuck you so hard.
I would rather die childless and barren.
It's just like Ashley knows that I'm a monster, but she's like, well, he's old though. So
yeah.
Jeremy, I would rather wake up to your skin flakes all over my bed every day than go out with Chris Rizdevo.
Oh yeah. Now I'm touching myself.
I mean, I guess
I
want to
know what love is.
Yeah. I can show you.
I want you to show me.
Please, I don't want to know what kind of Jeremy love he could show.
By the way, whenever I hear that song, there's the movie with Jeffrey Combs called From Beyond, and the guy's a monster that has ED, and he's like, you can't even get it up, and he's like, why don't you show me? It's just like this Foreigner song. I want to know what love is.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't done any erectile dysfunction commercials with that song now. I'm gonna campaign to get that song on the next Viagra commercial.
You know, that
Roman or whatever the hell that product is.
You know that other song, Dancing in the Dark, you know?
Yeah.
I never thought that song was about ED, so can't start a fire without a spark.
The spark is gonorrhea.
I don't understand people who...
You get used to the burning after months, whatever.
I don't understand why people always want a hard dick. Like, if my dick didn't work, I'd be like, sweet, nice. Like, I'd be okay with it.
Am I supposed to never drink?
Yeah, you know, I'm just fucking... The only reason I want to use it is when it is working, right? But I never seek it out to work. Ever.
I knew a crackhead once who said he couldn't get it up, and he literally tried rubber bands and popsicles.
Wait a minute, what? What are the popsicles? Like, I understand a rubber band, right?
You like a splint, a dick splint.
His dick's walking around like Tiny Tim, ready to. He's like, I'm ready
baby,
to
that
fuck.
Feels so good. It feels so wooden. Like, oh.
Get the splint in, and then you take the splint out, and hopefully get a little rubbins there. So,
yeah. Wow, Jesus!
And trying to pee out of one of those things is incredibly difficult. It's like you have to put your hand up against the wall like that. You have to position yourself. It's literally one of the only times I've ever thought, oh. This is why it's important to study geometry in school.
Whenever I need to get wet, I just put myself on mute on the podcast.
You've put yourself on mute quite a bit, Ashley. I mean, are you trying to tell us
something? Yeah, every time I'm on the podcast, I'm like, oh no, it's drying up. I should mute myself so I don't hear what's going on.
Ashley with that WAP over there.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm recording. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm spending my Sunday doing this instead of going to church.
Yeah, okay. You know.
Yeah.
I love that song. I love that song, White Ass Pussy.
That's what they play at Trump rallies.
Yes, there's a lot of that there, let me tell you. So that's good.
And they're all named Karen.
I'll ask the resident white lady on this show. Is Karen a bad word for white ladies now? How do you feel if somebody called you a Karen?
I mean, that's kind of funny because I just wrote a joke yesterday where I was like, what do you call white women that don't stick up for their own kind? Aunt Karen.
I think this is my theory on the phrase Karen, okay? I think white women are trying to make it their a slur against them, right? They're the ones that are being proponents for it, right? But it's only so that they can not feel bad when they say the N-word. Do you understand? Like, does that make sense? Like, well, he called me a Karen, huh? You know what I mean?
Which means HBO is now, like, instead of that show, The L Word, they're going to come out with a show called The K Word.
The K Word.
It's just going to be, like, white women bitching about stuff.
I don't think
so. In other words, it'll be a Desperate Housewives reboot.
Yeah. I just learned about the R Word.
The R Word? Yeah.
you've lived out in Western Maryland for how long?
I'm a big fan of the Black Eyed Peas, so.
I was going to say, the R word that Jeremy is referring to is restitutions.
There you go. It's a dirty word in America. So look, there's a Saturday night, or I'm sorry, I guess Thursday night, New Year's Eve, right? I had a show with the great Tommy Cimbazzo. Me and him were closing it out. It was the first time we'd done our two-man act, okay? And if you stick around to the very end of the show, I'll throw up the song that we did. But me and Tommy did this bit where we basically, honest to God, we just fucking crowd worked this thing for the entire show. And we asked, we wanted to do the 12 days of COVID. So we asked people in the crowd, hey, give us ideas to do for the 12 days of Christmas song, but we're going to do the 12 days of COVID. So two funny things happened here, right? One, this one lady just yelled out, China! It just the whole country. We were like, wait a minute, the whole country of China? That's your answer? And she's like, yep. And I was just like, "That they just came in 2020? Fuck them, okay? So we listened to that. We made fun of her a little bit. This one lady from like the second tier, she was in the darkness of Magoobie's joke house up there. And she goes, all the retards that can't go to school right now. Or she said, my retarded kid who can't go to school right now. Dropped a hard R right there. I was like, wow, really? Like that? And she was like, and then we were like, we don't put that on there. And we were like, we ended up putting her as the number one. And I was like, and that bitch's retarded ass kid was part of the, and that bitch's retarded ass kid. Right. So like we did that. And then at the end, right, we did our thing, right. We play this fucking improvisational song. Right. And the lady who just said China was just like, she goes, hey, you didn't put China in there. And like at the perfect time. So everybody in the audience hears it, you know? And I just looked at her and I was like, yeah, we all heard your dumbass answer, bitch. And we didn't use it. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, just fucking crowd erupts. Ah,
that's improv right there.
There you go.
That is true. Like, you know, alcohol based, Baltimore based improv.
Yeah. Hey, listen, nothing. Racism and hilariousness undefeated. Let me just tell you, it'll never not be funny. Okay.
And if you make fun of somebody because you say they're on drugs, then they come up on stage and try to fight you.
That's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, but we're talking about the great Rob Mayer, of course, getting almost assaulted on stage by some guy from Jessup, which is
best part 2020.
And saved by the black headliner with the guy that was a racist asshole. So.
Yeah, there's a racist asshole, Larry Lancaster. I'm sure Tom Myers knows Larry.
Absolutely, yeah.
Larry had to come up and rescue Rob Mayer from getting attacked by a white guy who was saying the N-word. And he's like, it's cool. I was in Jessup. And I was like, I don't know if that's how what if all you had to do was serve time and that's the thing? That's your pass now? Like,
I'm pretty sure that you have to get, you know, fucked in the ass before you could even be considered to say it. Like, you know, once you get the sodomy, it's like, then your name goes on a waiting list. And then it comes up as a case-by-case basis.
Excuse me?
Did you push back? Well, you did push back? Yeah, you can't say it. No.
Whoa. Excuse me, Jerome. I'm not racist. In fact, I can say the N-word. I've been sodomized. the idea of that fucking rocks. I mean, I'd take a shot in the ass. Someone wanting to
fight me was the sort of the impetus that required me to give up drinking, which I actually just New Year's Eve I celebrated my 9-year anniversary of sobriety.
Congratulations!
So it happened. I was doing a show up in Port Deposit, a place called the Susquehanna River Grill.
I've been to the Susquehanna River Grill before. Believe it or not,
the
yeah.
no longer around Susquehanna River Grill. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Oh, when did that go out?
Great venue. It was not long after that, I think.
Okay.
That it
happened. Are you telling me you closed down that fucking venue right there? They were like,
there's been more
we're never
than
gonna...
one venue I've closed down. I did a show in
we're
West
never
Virginia.
Gonna have a better show than Tom Myers here. Close the doors, Patrice.
I did a show in West Virginia, and it's weird doing a show in certain counties in West Virginia. It's against the law to have a tip jar on the bar. So a lot of these venues, when you perform, they always lock the front door and you have to be buzzed to go in because they have a camera right out in front of the door.
Uh-huh.
And if it's an inspector or sheriff's deputy, then they see who it is. They hide the tip jar and they buzz them in. But the buzzer's really loud. You hear the buzzer go... and you get let in. Now, that is a bit burdensome if you're trying to do comedy. And if you're trying to do like a headlining 45 minute set like I tried to do. And another thing, you get to your punchline, then you say like, and it just completely fucks up your rhythm. And then after I did that show, the guy who owned the venue came up and said, oh, that was our, give it up for Tom Myers and these other comics. Thanks for coming out to our show. And thanks for coming out to the very last event before before we're closing down tomorrow. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your show. Good night. So, I wish I was making that up. But at the show out in Port Deposit, I was out in the parking lot talking to another comic, and this other comic went back inside, and an audience member who had taken issue with something I said wanted to fight me.
Wow.
And he was getting ready to do that, but he was sloshed, and I had a few myself. I probably shouldn't have been interacting with people. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of made these staggered swinging motions with his arms. And then
for the listeners, I know we're an audio medium. There's a lot of improv and arms swinging right now in Tom Myers' window.
It looked like
he was
very drunk trying to fight.
Yeah,
all of a sudden he just lost consciousness and collapsed to the parking lot. And I just looked down at him and said, okay, this is probably a good time for me to go. And I ended up leaving. And I woke up the next morning feeling like crap. And I thought, that's probably a good note on which to end it. And haven't had a drop since. My last drink was December 30th of 2011.
Can I say that should have been the beginning of your evil? And when the guy was laying down on the ground, you said, now you shall witness the true nature of the Force. Foolish.
If I was dressed as Pogo, I would have.
Well, you know, if you carry makeup with you all the time, there's nothing like when somebody's down on the ground, you just start putting your makeup on.
Excuse me a moment.
Classic.
Gotta get the rouge.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, if they're too drunk, they don't realize they're going to get raped soon. So.
Oh, gosh. Thank you for the good... Hey, good rape drop, Jeremy. Proud of you, buddy.
Where's the little sound clip? Haven't you made... You just hit a button, and then someone sings, and then a chorus sings, rape drop, and then you hear a sound effect. And
rape drop, it's a master of rape.
Look, for the lady...
It's the song Spaceballs, but with rape in it. That's where I was going with that.
Look, for the lady in the Zoom, I only make man-on-man rape jokes, okay?
That is true.
Oh, no, I love it. I love that I'm not a person anymore, and I'm just the lady that's quietly sitting in the Zoom call.
She's not happy with us right now.
It's gone really well, yeah.
Well, hey,
it's
speaking
show that
of
I'm a feminist, so
speaking of our wonderful comedian who is gender doesn't matter. I don't care if she had if this lady had a dick, I'd still think she was equally hilarious. Let me tell you, I think it's time for another segment of Honest Ash. Oh, and it's about that time again for another segment of Honest Ash. And here's Ashley Pontius.
Oh, hello, listeners. I wanted to tell you that I recently sent two condolence cards. One to my friend, whose grandmother died, and the other to a comedian I watch bomb. I got the envelopes mixed up today. Now we wait. This has been Honest
And there you have it. That's come back next week for some more Honest
Who hasn't
Ash.
Done that?
Real talk. That's not a lie. You actually sent a card. Should we just tell them who you sent a card to?
Yeah, I sent a card to Mike Quinlan. Mike Quinlan, you're going to love this episode.
Yeah, Mike Quinlan. God, I feel, first of all, I want you to know I did not condone the sending of said card. But Mike Quinlan had a pretty bad bomb on that same show I was just talking about at Magoobies. It was so bad that the guy lit him at 3 minutes in because he was bombing so hard. He was opening up the show. And, oh, boy. As he came off, he was not doing well. He's not in a good mental state, I'll let you know. And I love Mike Quinlan personally. He is one of my dearest people that I know in the local comedy community. But Ashley, you sent him a condolence card today.
It was very heartfelt.
I wanted to reach out during his time of loss and comfort him. I will have you know, I didn't just make the card a joke. I was like, hey, look, shit happens. We love you. You know, I wouldn't just take a dig just to be a piece of shit. I too like Mike Quinlan. I like him. He's a good dude. But I just wanted to give him, you know, a little jab, a little stab, a little shit, you know, let him know that I'm here.
I want to believe that
he, for bookings.
I want to believe that he's going to go through and it's going to get there in about a week now because of the way the mail works. And he's forgotten about it. He's completely put it behind him and he pops that bitch open and he's like, motherfucker, motherfucker.
It'll be his Nom flashback.
hearing chopper sounds and it's just the light going on and off, like from the up top.
Now, whenever Quinlan bombs, which is probably going to happen like never because I've seen him perform, some soundboard is going to have a helicopter sound effect. Like,
Vietnam, Vietnam, Magoobie's Joke House, New Year's Eve 2020. Oh my gosh. Like, no, so it was another funny story, though, about Mike. So we were back in the green room. Me and Tommy are sitting back there, and we're talking about Laugh Finder, the other show that we do. And we were talking about the guests that we're having up, and he was just like, oh, you guys never invite me on Laugh Finder, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you've been on Laugh Finder. He's trying to pull, like, the thing, and we're like, of course we'll have you on. And he's like, no, 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 I don't want your pity booking, and blah, blah, blah. And he's going like this, and we're like, and then Tommy stopped him. He was just like, no, Mike, it's not a pity booking. I just saw what you did out there. Let me tell you, kid, you got it. I'm in fucking tears on the ground. Oh, it's so good.
I care about Mike. And I just want him to have, you know, I want him to have fun. And I'm just looking to continue to lose us guests and listeners.
Yes. No. Listen, Mike, I love you. I, as much as they want to shit on you, I know you are, first of all, you're one of like the top 100 best comedians in the Baltimore local scene. And I mean that 100 hands down. Okay.
Mike, you're my favorite Catholic.
You are. Former Catholic. Well, are we ready to get into tonight's pick that Mr. Myers has brought to the forefront here?
I want to splint dick into this movie.
You want to splint dick into this movie?
Yeah.
Well, we're going over the 1995 version of this movie, because there are two others of this movie. It's a Roger Corman film called Not of This Earth, and I don't know if you know this, Tom. Tom, are you aware that this movie has been, there's two other iterations of this film, one in the 1950s and another one only back in 1988. So this is 8 years before this movie.
The 88 version is the more popular one because it has Tracy Lords in it.
Yeah, and it's the fun fact about the 1988 version. It's the last time Tracy Lords showed her tits in a movie because she wanted to be a serious actress after that. And yeah, haven't seen her since. Real weird that
obviously never seen Crybaby.
I have seen Crybaby, but not you're right, she's in Crybaby. I'll be honest with you, I loved some of her really early films. They're really hard to find though these days.
What about that Stephen
Nobody
King
got
movie?
That. All right, cool.
What about the Stephen King movie where she has lipstick that fires lasers?
What? Oh, the Tommyknockers. There you go. Yeah.
It would have been funny if she would have showed her boobs in that movie and then Tommyknockers.
It's kind of ironic that Tommyknockers wasn't actually a porno.
Yeah. With an underage girl, which is what she's best known for, is that she did underage porn and with a fake ID. That's what Tracy Lords is. Yeah.
Which, by the way, the 400-plus man from Troma, otherwise known as Michael Hertz, really loved her underage pornography, because I know who he bought it from, so.
Ugh, gross.
Yes.
This is upsetting. This took a
time. I know all the dirt in the business, baby!
Well, that's what she's known for. Tracy Lords used a fake ID, so when she was 16 and 17, she was doing full hardcore pornography, and they changed the laws just because of her, that they had to have a more stringent policy of checking IDs and stuff like that. And but it's also a real easy way, if you wanted to do porn, to get it taken off the internet right away.
Isn't that barely legal? Means you'll be legal in like a year or two?
No, that's not how it works.
Good for her, because I'm the reason people are now required to have more than one female on a show. Go.
Hence the podcast, Tom Myers versus the rest of the world.
Yes.
It is not a sausage fest.
Who's your female?
We have two regular females on the show, Abby Mello and Michelle Wojciechowski.
Oh, I love Abby Mello and little Wojciechowski. I want to say I met Abby one time. She was very nice. We were cordial. But I've seen Wojciechowski multiple times, and I'm always trying to be nice, but I feel like she just doesn't like me. I want her to like me though, really bad.
Laughfinder has Violet Gray.
Yeah, we have Violet, and I had
Violet on a previous episode.
Yeah, she was just
and
recently
I
on.
Feel, and I fill in on Laughfinder when they can't find any willing women.
Yes, that is true.
The way you said willing women.
They're like, don't you want to be on our podcast? And I'm like, what other episodes have you done? And it's the same for Quality Time when I try to like drum up business for us. They're like, what episodes did I listen to get a feel for who you are? And I'm like, any episode is fine.
Hey, I will say, if you want to get...
You almost sounded desperate when you said that. Please, any episode is fine. I'll
make a suggestion. If this is your first episode with us, but you want to hear a great Ashley Pontius riffing episode, check out Demon Night, because that was just me and Ash, and she rocked it out pretty hard on that one. So.
Aw, Eric. Well, as much that makes me feel good, I can't do it, though. You know what, Tommy? I love... Oh, do you care if I call you Tommy at all? Or do you prefer Tom?
Do I see my name on the bottom of the
Look
screen?
At the
it
anger
says Tom Myers.
Okay. Tom.
How about faggot?
I don't give a fuck. No, just... People call me worse.
I want to be respectful. Not everybody likes nicknames or variations of nicknames. But no, like just like you have.
You got it. Coochie Carnage 69. Okay.
I always forget that's there. And sometimes I go into work meetings and they're like, oh, Ashley's here.
Oh, did you see the one where the cast of Whose Line did a Zoom thing and Ryan Stiles had his actual email address?
Oh, no.
That's pretty good. And in fact, you're right. This is my actual email. Please don't use it. but no, I like that you have like the two women on your show. And honestly, you know what? Just like your two that help you cement your show. I couldn't do the podcast without Eric and Jeremy. I'm always grateful.
Stop. And we are huge pussies anyway, so don't worry. That's the main goal we want to take away. So
Jeremy just admitted he needs a splint, so, you know.
That is true. This movie...
Still have sex. With a splint.
But not
in,
of this...
In Jessup with the guy who loves fighting comics.
I'm from Jessup.
So, Not of This Earth starts out with a fun little scene. It starts out with Danny trying to get to second base here, and I have a little bit of just give you a taste of the acting in this movie.
Danny, that's enough. Now chill.
Come on, Cheryl. I mean, this is bogus. I mean, my nads are the size of beach balls. Are you gonna give it up or what?
It's definitely or what, Danny. Soon we both look near the park. Now I'm not so sure.
I love how they're like, just to make sure everybody knows this one was made in the 90s, let's throw in my nads are fucking big as beach balls. This is bogus. That shit rock. That's good script writing right there. Roger Corman really put that
inspired
chef's kiss
by,
on
inspired by Wayne's World.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think
the guy Cody from Step by Step.
I'd like to think that Dick Miller was like, you want me in this film? This is shit. Compared to the other stuff, this is really bad.
Yeah, Dick Miller was in the very first iteration of this movie as a child, pretty much. 1957 version. Old Dick Miller was in it.
I met him like 3 years ago, and I was like, damn, this is great. I know he's going to die after I meet him because he's old as fuck.
Oh, God.
Which is pretty much every celebrity I meet at any of these shows. Like, damn, I got to meet him because he's going to die.
We did. We met Wilford Brimley before he died. And we actually tried to get Wilford Brimley for an interview. And our interview went like this. As Jeremy and Kim Ambrose, now Kim Callahan, then now maybe back to Kim Ambrose. Anyway, former woman host of the show walked up with Jeremy in full clown makeup. The only audio we got was like, I said, no goddamn recorders, like that. And that was our interview with Wilford Brimley, which was, it was strong. It was a...
Get that goddamn oatmeal away from me! Goddamn it!
I do love, sorry, just real quick on the scene that we just went over. I do love that he says to her, I just want to see if they're real or not. And she just lets him continue to fondle her.
Yes.
I'm like, I want to have that level of lack of self-respect.
It's almost as if it's a movie.
Yes.
And it's fiction.
I don't, what? This movie's not real? Get out of here. So Cheryl decides to walk home, but she starts to hear an ominous voice in her head.
You will not run.
Danny? This is not amusing, Danny.
Stay. We will not run.
No. It's funny because, you know, I feel like this is the voice that everybody hears in after their New Year's resolution to lose weight. Is just like, you will not run. You will sit
I
here.
I stopped making New Year's resolutions after the one I made New Year's Eve 2019 that I wouldn't be a germaphobe.
Oh, yeah? Ooh.
I thought, fuck that.
Do you think Howie Mandel has gotten COVID now? Because he's like the ultimate germaphobe. You know?
I thought you were going to talk about the guy from Double Dare.
Oh, is he a super germaphobe?
Yeah, and it's also amazing because he got in a fight on the Tonight Show with Burt Reynolds spilling drinks all over him, and you know, I guess it was on purpose, but it really seemed like they hated each other's guts. So.
Yeah, it was a guy from Double Dare.
Yeah,
well, that voice that you were hearing is none other than English actor Michael York, who's going to be playing our alien here, but probably most famously known for Logan's Run. Jeremy, you big Logan's Run fan?
Hells yeah.
I tried to watch Logan's Run recently in the year 2019 and couldn't do it. It is a tough fucking watch. It's real bad.
I hate to say I'm more of a fan of the original Island of Dr. Moreau.
Ah, yeah.
Where he gets it on with the lovely Barbara Carrera, who they named a Porsche after.
He's also in the original, the 1968 version of Romeo and Juliet, which I only know because it was featured on The Wonder Years. They were watching it on one episode, and they started playing Me and You and Me.
And your career has died so much that probably the only anybody under age 30 remembers him as what's his name from Austin Powers, Boss.
Basil.
So.
Yeah,
he was also in the parody, that fugitive parody that Leslie Nielsen did, Wrongfully Accused.
Oh, really, man?
He plays the guy who was murdered early
so
on.
So that's not Spy Hard.
Yeah, I'm a Spy Hard fan. Sorry.
Great Weird Al Yankovic song.
My dad took me to see Spy Hard when it first came out. We were the only two people in the theater.
Suckers, yeah!
It's like, it was great.
It is. Hey, Spy Hard, underappreciated.
It's like
film.
Being in my own home theater, which I haven't had the pleasure of experiencing since.
Weird Al,
hey, when you can just openly masturbate, it's worth your money.
Weird Al shows up in a lot of Leslie
Take note,
Nielsen
Paul
movies,
Rubens.
Though. Weird Al shows up in a lot of Leslie Nielsen films, including the first Naked Gun movie where they're all outside and they're waiting for, he's like, who's coming off the plane? It's Weird Al Yankovic. He's also on the plane. And it's just Weird Al, he comes off or whatever. But there is apparently when that movie came out, the original Naked Gun, Weird Al took a date to go see it. He took three different dates to go see Naked Gun and he wouldn't tell them that he was in the movie. He would just wait till that part and he's like, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm a big movie star.
Weird Al's a player, man.
And you know, that move almost got him pussy.
Yeah, dude. Fucking, you make a song called Eat It, and imagine making a song called Eat It and getting pussy. That fucking rocks.
We totally do.
Would you fuck us, Ashley? Would you fuck Weird Al Yankovic?
Well, no, that's a great question because, like, huge fan. I like. There's that part of me. It's like I would fuck him for the art, but that hair. I don't know. I don't like dudes with long hair. I want to be the long haired goddess. Like I can deal with the Jufro. But...
Can you imagine when his mustache looked like a glazed donut?
Is that about me? Because oh, yes, God. That is accurate. They call me Krispy Kreme.
Oh my God! So as she's trying to run away, he eventually catches up with her, and we hear
no.
Which is the same. That's oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't audio from the movie. I just busted. That was me and the old lady right there. I go, no, gosh. But he burns her eyes out with his fucking laser beam eyes that he reveals like he's Cyclops, and then pumps a bunch.
Homeland.
Yeah, and then pumps a bunch of weird green shit into her body while sucking out all of her blood, and then essentially mummifying her on the spot. So a little bit better special effects because I did go back and watch the 88 version, which isn't particularly gory at all. This has just a little bit more gore in this one.
I'm gonna guess just a little bit more of like a porno than this one. So.
The 90s started making more realistic alien hunting, human mummifying movies. They made it like it would happen in real life.
Yeah,
they do.
Well, I like that, you know, we had just had Men in Black come out, and they were like, we could make a better version called Not of This Earth right afterwards. And that's, I mean, we all agree, this is the far superior film between the two.
I'll tell you, it definitely doesn't compare to Life Force.
Oh, Life Force is one we got to do one day. Patrick Stewart making out, ugh, yes.
I'll add
yes.
it to the list.
Yeah, Ashley keeps our running list of movies we have to do. So,
with the most egregious naked chick in all of moviedom in a long time.
So next we see this strange man in glasses pull up to a building in a Rolls Royce. He then goes to ask for Dr. Rochelle because his blood is ill. And it goes on to ask, how much blood do you have at this establishment?
Sir, you can't go.
This facility contains how much blood?
A lot.
How much blood exactly?
I don't know. A few thousand liters?
Excellent.
Oh, yes. And Jeremy, would you like to tell us who that actress was that he's talking to there?
I almost remembered her name, obviously, from all of the Christopher Guest movies like Best in Show and Jennifer Coolidge. And yeah, she's been big ever since. Isn't she even in that that show with what's her name's tits? The two broke girls.
I don't know. I've never watched Two Broke Girls, and we only have one of them on our show.
That's Eric.
Insert the. This is where the oh snap. GIF file would
Eric, go this Eric is the broken.
This was their first movie before she started getting older, and you know.
Jeremy, can you name what other Quality Time movie we've gone over where Jennifer Coolidge is in?
Best in Show.
We've never done Best in Show, but there is a movie we have. She has been featured in a movie that we've done here on the show.
Two Broke Girls.
It's neither of those things, and we no.
Was it The Toxic Avenger?
I hate you so much. Every iota of my being
was
makes me
hate
you.
Was it The Thing with John Carpenter?
She's not. There's literally no women.
I think she was the thing.
There's no. You're saying that Jennifer Coolidge is the thing that thing comes out of her pussy and murders Kurt Russell and Keith David. And all the other fun characters.
Well, she was only the special effects when the face was like Taff torn apart. That was her.
That was her. Yeah. I feel like Ashley would be able to guess this. It's a very famous horror movie.
But can you give me any sort of hint since I wouldn't have been on the show?
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. I'll give you the director. It's a Rob Zombie joint, so it leaves you with four movies really to pick from.
Oh, I'm going to go with his original remake of Halloween. No, because you guys haven't done that.
No, we never done that. She actually plays the mother in the original House of a Thousand Corpses, the
You're
prequel.
100% wrong.
She is Jennifer Coolidge is 100% the first.
That is Karen Black.
That's Karen. That's not Karen Black.
Oh my gosh!
I don't think.
Jeremy's right.
Am I fucking this up? I fucked
you know,
it all
even,
up.
Even if you guessed like the remake with Devil's Rejects, that's like the blonde bitch from Police Academy movie.
I know that ain't her. Man, I guess they. You're right. Look, the internet
wins
again.
Don't mess with Karen Black, dude.
I love Jeremy. All that right. Eric just like shit on you for being like, come on, how do you not know the movie?
I will go Joe Robinson with the broomstick on you on this.
They do look very similar, though.
You want to play some Dig Dug, bitch? Huh?
It's like talking smack about what movies people have seen and actresses and which actresses in what movie. That's like the nerdiest rat battle ever.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. No, I think it is her. It's not Karen Black.
They do
Karen
look Black. Very. No, it is Karen Black. Karen Black is in House of a Thousand Corpses. I'll shut my goddamn mouth. So, Mr. Paul Johnson, as he's so called, goes to go see the doctor. He demands a transfusion, but he doesn't want to have to give any of his own blood to be tested. He ends up cutting his own arm open with a scalpel so that the doctor could sop just a little bit up on a fucking cotton
swab.
Can I
say this is just every other day for a German going into a healthcare place?
The Germans, this is how we give our blood, yeah? This is how we do it. And
also, out of my laziness, I didn't make a song for this, which would have been great, called Space AIDS.
Space AIDS?
Yeah.
So,
like, that's ever stopped you before.
But he does...
That was too lazy.
He does take off his glasses to talk to the doctor after he gives him a little bit of his blood.
You will do your tests alone. And you will report the results to no one but me.
Oh, great. He's using the force.
You instruct that female to transfuse me. Do you comprehend?
So, and uses a little bit of mind control on the old doctor who's going to go and look at his
blood. You recognize
the
doctor, don't you?
Oh, and that's going to bring us to an end of part one of the Tom Myers Not of This Earth episode. Thanks for tuning in this week, ladies and gents. But we made a two-parter. The thing our listeners hate the most is doing this week in, week out. Just listening to us. I get it. I'm part of the show. You can always hop on ericcomedy.com for all of the news and info. It's Eric with a K, Comedy with a C. Second Saturday Shit Show is free every second Saturday of the month, hosted by Michael Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan. And I guess I'm going to take us out. Oh, my God! It's Tom Myers!
Tom Myers! Greatest comedian of all time! Tom Myers! Witness the funny! What makes him the greatest comedian of all time? Is it the intellect or the great political knowledge and prowess? Yes! No! Do you know what it is? Because he's not gay! Yes, no, he's not gay! He's not gay! But he's very open to the LGBTQT! Because he's a Democrat! And absolutely loves anything involving larger government! Like the rain tag! Tom Myers!
So it's been a fucked up year, as we all well know, from gay tiger keepers that do meth and blow. We worked from home mostly, and the gyms were all closed. We masked up our faces and covered our nose. So fuck 2020, if I may be so blunt. Fuck 2020, you slovenly cunt. So lift your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020 with me. Fuck you! So I killed Wilford Brimley and the Black Panther too. Killed your favorite Laker, your grandmother too. I killed 007 and Regis Philbin and Alex Trebek, and then I took Van Halen. So fuck 2020, you venomous slut. Fuck 2020, another punch in the gut. So lift your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020 with me. Fuck you! So we had murder hornets and protested in the streets. Some said they loved the cops, others fucked the police. A lot of places gone and it was all a scare. We traded a guy who grabs pussies for one that smells children's hair. So fuck 2020, you venomous slut. Fuck 2020, another punch in the gut. So lift your glass and have a good laugh and say fuck 2020.